Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of Community Conversations here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Chris Bessler. Today we're airing the first of two programs devoted to the 2020 U.S. Census. The census is conducted just once every 10 years, and as the official count of our nation's citizens, it provides the baseline data that our governments, from local to national, use to determine how funding and services will be allocated, as well as how our voting districts will be drawn up and how states will be represented in Congress. The Founding Fathers considered the census so important that in the U.S. Constitution, they directed it be conducted. We've just about reached the end of the 2020 census count, which is scheduled at the moment to end on September 30th. Today we talk with Misty Slater of the U.S. Census Bureau about how the census is being conducted and how to ensure that you're counted. We also talked with several of our community leaders about the importance of a complete and accurate count. We have short conversations with County Commissioner Dan McDonald, Superintendent of Schools Tom Albertson, and State Senator Jim Woodward. You'll hear these short interviews in sequence after our opening talk with Misty Slater. And with that, let's get started with today's talks about the 2020 census. We're talking now with Misty Slater. She's the media specialist for the U.S. Census Bureau for our region, covering Idaho, Nevada, and Oregon. Misty, thank you for talking with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So the U.S. Census is actually required by the U.S. Constitution, and it only comes around once every 10 years. So we're in the midst of that right now. Can you bring us up to speed on the status of the census count at present?
Well, for Idaho right now, the total count, because we have the self-response rate, which Idaho is doing well in, 68.9%. And those are the people who either went online to 2020census.gov, or they called a phone number, or they mailed in their paper questionnaire. And then we have our non-response follow-up operation number. Those are the door knockers, census takers, enumerators, whatever you would like to call them. And right now, 30.5% of Idahoans who have not self-responded have been counted. So that brings the total count for Idaho at 99.3%. You guys are still leading the nation.
Wow. Well, that is very positive news for us, but there are still people out there that haven't gotten counted, correct?
Correct. There's that 0.7% in that state that have yet to be counted.
Yeah. So, you know, we got a lot to talk about, but one thing, let's talk first about, so what's the importance of being counted and ensuring that your local area gets a complete and accurate count?
Well, this is the population count is a way for the federal government to distribute money down from the state to local communities. And there's like 55 programs, federal programs, the money is divvied up based on the population count. So it's like a math equation. You have the money, you need to know the other part in order how to distribute the money. So this is that other part of that equation. So we need to know the population count in that state to help distribute funds. So like in Idaho, the top three, so according to the George Washington University Counting for Dollars, this university does a great job. They find out how much the money each state got and where the money went to. So for fiscal year 2016, based off of the 2010 population count, Idaho received $3.6 billion. And the top three, Medicaid got $1.2 billion. Federal direct student loans was over $332 million, and then SNAP also got over $255 million. But it goes into so many different programs, school lunches, rural electrification loans, rural rental assistant payments, and water and waste disposal systems for rural communities. And WIC, I mean, there's just so many programs that this money goes into. Infrastructure, roads, tunnels, bridges. I mean, it affects our daily lives, really. The population count for, you know, every 10 years takes 10 minutes to do, 10 years of funding. It affects everybody's daily life in your community. So if schools use the data to find out how many, you know, if they need to build a new school, if they're having a whole bunch of children come in, and please count your children. For some reason, that is a demographic that is undercounted.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a report from George Washington University. You referenced them. And I think I saw that they determine that rural areas, the amount of money that's put out per individual in a rural area amounts to about $4,000 per year. And I don't know if that number is correct, but
It seems like it kind of is just dependent on the state. I don't know how they come up to that figure, but if it is 4,000, that's $40,000 that that community will lose out on for one person not being counted. So it has a decent impact in your local community.
Yes, yeah. When you do the math that way, you can see, yeah, just undercounting by 10 or 100 people
Right.
would mean that a lot of money would be forfeit to that county, according to these formulas that the government uses to allocate their services.
Right. Very. And those are the federal dollars that we pay in through our taxes. So, to be counted, you're getting that portion, some of that money back into your local community to help it thrive.
Okay, so we're coming down because the count is going to end, I believe, on September 30th, correct?
Well, I guess we have to wait and see. We have a there is a court case that comes up Thursday. So the one thing is that everybody, if you have not been counted, regardless of what the date is, we are nearing the end of the census. We started in March, and it is our original deadline was July 31st, but because of the pandemic, all of our timelines have been in flux. That's why, like, Idaho was able to start our non-response follow-up operation July 16th, as opposed to some states that had to wait to the end of July, very beginning of August. So they were able to start earlier. So
And that's
if
probably
you
one reason
have
we have a
not,
higher overall response rate, is because
right, yeah.
Idaho did start earlier. Yeah.
And honestly, after looking at the other areas in my state, they are charging ahead. I mean, it's really the crazy just to think about how many people are out on the streets doing this job, because the job of the census taker is to get a complete and accurate count. That's actually all Census Bureau employees. That is our job. We want to get a complete and accurate count of the population. We want to count everybody once, only once, and in the right place. So you have these census takers, but part of their job, part of all of our jobs, is to afford people living in the United States the opportunity to respond to the census, because everybody counts. You count your local community. You want it to thrive. It gets the money based off the count. So that it's just like, please, if a census taker comes to your door, please respond if you haven't responded through the census taker. If you are more responsible than myself, because when I self-responded online, I did not keep my confirmation code. But if you respond online, you get a confirmation code that you can just give to the census taker. Here, I responded online. They t jot that down. They're good. You're good to go. If you are not home when a census taker comes by and you have not responded, they will leave a notice of visit flyer, and it will ask you, please self-respond online or by phone, and it gives you the information within 2 days. So that address is taken out of their workload. It just helps speed up the process. That's one less address that they have to go and visit.
So in this last home stretch of the census this year, there will be a lot of people out taking manual information at the door, but if people want to, can they check to see if they've been counted somehow, or how do they do that online?
I don't believe there is a way to check to see if you've been counted. I know there's three ways to respond, to self-respond. So you go online to 2020census.gov, and if you wanted to see like what the census is about, this is a great website. There's everything and anything census is on here. If you're wondering about the questions we ask, it's on that site, and it gives you the question and why we ask it. We have a reason to ask each of these questions, and it is provided on that site. That site, every page has a respond button in the top right-hand corner. So if you want to get a little information on the census and then respond, you'll be able to get that button regardless of what page you're on. And then you can call. So you can call English 844-330-2020, or for Spanish 844-468-2020 to respond by phone. Or if you got a paper questionnaire in the mail, you can fill that out and mail it back in. And those three ways, you can self-respond. And then the fourth way is having a census taker knock on your door. That will only take about 10 minutes. And again, 10 minutes for 10 years of funding. excuse me. So then census takers will never ask you for your Social Security number, banking information, political affiliation, or citizenship status. If anybody asks you those questions, close the door, contact your local authorities if there is an imposter in the area.
Okay. Well, what kinds of questions do they ask?
They will ask you what your name is. They will verify your address. They will ask you how many people are living in your residence, the birth date and ages of them. They'll ask you for heritage, like are you of Hispanic descent? What kind of dwelling the household is. Is it a house, is it a trailer or mobile home or an apartment? So it's just, I mean, it's like 10 questions. Mm-hmm. It took me 3 minutes for a family of five to respond online.
Mm-hmm.
It was so fast. And again, it is probably the least invasive survey I have ever taken.
Not like the political surveys that people get hit with this time of the election cycle.
Oh, yeah. If you do have a census taker come to your door, the way to identify if they are legitimate, they will be carrying a valid ID badge with their photograph, a U.S. Department of Commerce watermark, and an expiration date. They'll also be carrying Census Bureau bags and other equipment with the Census Bureau logo on it. Now, if you still have questions about their identity, you can contact the Los Angeles Regional Census Center at 213-314-6500 to speak with a Census Bureau representative to ensure that that person is a legitimate census taker.
Okay. Okay. So you just rattled off several ways to get counted, and one of them is if you haven't been counted, you might find a census taker showing up at your house. And the other ways are to you can actually call in. If they call in, the number you gave, and I'll rattle that off again, it's 844-330-2020. If they call that number, Misty, do they get stuck on hold for hours, or what happens then?
From what I know about the phone lines, you call, you're directed to a Census Bureau representative who can take your answers, who can help you self-respond through the phone. I haven't heard about any long wait times. So, you know, again, though, the time is now to self-respond if you haven't already. It's just going to help out your state and your local community. You'll be taken out of our workload faster if you do respond online or by phone. But again, if you only want to do the paper questionnaire, please self-respond with the paper questionnaire. It will take a little bit more time to get your address out of the workload because of the mailing time. Mm-hmm. But again, self-respond. If a Census Bureau or a census taker does come to your door, please just, you know, let them know you either self-responded. Sometimes they're going around for quality assurance checks too. Maybe there was a question that was somehow missed when you filled out your paper questionnaire or online or whatever. And they're just verifying information. So please cooperate with them. You know, they're just trying to get a complete and accurate count for your local community.
Mm-hmm. And they themselves they're just people. So
right.
I imagine some census takers encounter some hostile reactions from folks. Has that been an issue?
There's been some reports of that, yeah. You know, and again, especially during this time frame, some people don't want people coming up to their door. So the best way to do that is to self-respond. However, Census takers will be wearing masks, and they will be following public health guidelines when they visit the homes. They do complete a virtual COVID-19 training on social distancing and other health and safety protocols before they even begin their work in neighborhoods. They will be wearing a mask when they're conducting an interview. They'll knock on the door, and they'll stand 6 feet away. and then they will be talking to the person with the social distancing. They will input the information on their Census Bureau device, so there's no cross-contamination. So it is safe, you know, that way with the social distancing and no cross-contamination. But again, Census Bureau, the information you give us is safe, secure, and confidential as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to let folks know? Well, we'll run through all the numbers and stuff again here at the end, but in terms mm-hmm. of the process in these last maybe two or maybe a little bit longer than that, but we're coming down the home stretch now with the U.S. Census.
We are. So, again, if you have yet to respond and you haven't had a census taker come and knock on your door, please go online at 2020census.gov. or call 844-330-2020 for English or 844-468-2020 for Spanish, or mail in your paper questionnaire, because the money comes back to your local community. And majority of our census takers are hired from their local communities. So these are people that are out on the pavement trying to get responses for their local community as well. It takes 10 minutes for 10 years of funding. It's not a bad trade-off.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Misty Slater with the U.S. Census Bureau, thanks a lot for talking with us. And we are airing this because we do hope that the local folks will make sure they get counted, because it is so important for determining services that we're going to get from the government this for the next 10 years, basically.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Thanks, Misty.
No problem.
We're speaking now with Dan McDonald, Bonner County Commissioner and Chairman of the County Commission. Dan, thanks for talking with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So the subject here is the U.S. Census, which is concluding on September 30th. Mm-hmm. And my question off the top for you is, generally speaking, how does the population count made by the census affect the county?
Well, it actually is one of the vehicles that the feds use to determine where to apply monies. And it's, so to us, it's important because anytime, and I mean, you're going to hear me say this a few times, anytime that we can get money from the feds, which is taxpayer money, it helps us offset what we have to take from property owners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one way we get our tax money returned to us, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are there specific programs in the county that might be affected when there is a larger or smaller number counted in the census?
Well, it really, for us, for the county itself, we get a significant amount of funding from the feds for roads and public work project, but I know it actually helps schools, it helps hospitals. I mean, it's one of those things that it's one of the reasons I'm really a big fan of making sure that everyone gets counted so that we get our fair share. It also tells the feds where we can where districts need to be created or moved. It affects the House of Representatives. There's a number of benefits to making sure we're being counted. And the key thing here is it's constitutional. A lot of folks that are a little bit shy about the census need to remember, if they support the Constitution, this is in Article 1, Section 2.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that sets forth that there's going to be a census made every 10 years. And that's, mm-hmm. The chance only rolls around once every 10 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The final date for individuals to ensure that they're part of this year's census count is September 30th. Any words that you might have for residents that haven't been part of the census count yet?
Well, I think it's important. And again, this is one of those things. It's to me, it's part of our civic duty. It's constitutional. We need to make sure that everyone's counted. We need to have the ability to make sure. I want to speak a little bit to federal money. There's a group of folks that, don't want to see us take federal funds or take any kind of grants or take any kind, anything from the feds. And the problem is that the program exists. The money's going to go somewhere. I would just sooner have it come here and help the people in our county. And at the same time, again, offset our need to tax property owners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you said earlier, it's just getting mm-hmm. our share of the tax money
yep.
that we're already paying in.
Absolutely.
Okay, anything else you might like to mention on behalf of the county about the U.S. Census?
Well, I just say it's part of everyone's civic duty to be involved. I highly promote it. For those that know me, this is the way. This is something we have to do. we need to get out there. We need to make sure we're getting our fair share. We're working on our third year of zero tax increase, and one of the ways we're able to do that is the money that supplements our budget that comes from the feds. So it's important, and the state as well, by the way, because that that allocation, the state uses that census for allocating funds as well. So it's important that everyone gets out there and make sure you're counted, make sure your voice is heard, make sure that you're on the roll so that we can actually turn around and help the citizens of the county out.
Dan McDonald, Bonner County Commissioner, Chair of the Kitt County Commission, thanks for talking with us today.
Yep, my pleasure. See you, Chris.
Now we're talking with Lake Ponderay School District Superintendent Tom Albertson. Tom, at the start of this really busy school year, thanks for taking time to talk with us. So our goal here in this little interview is to get your take on the U.S. Census, which concludes at the end of this month. Generally speaking, how does the population count done by the census affect our school district?
Yeah, I'd say twofold, Chris. One, it's important for us to know actually how many school-age children live in our community, and that helps on the planning purposes as far as school enrollment, and try to plan for that for the future. And then secondly, there is funding, federal dollars that are attached to the direct information that comes from the census. And most of that is what we call title funds, and they're grants that go to local schools through the U.S. Department of Education, and that is tied to the percentage of students from low-income households.
So that's an example of a specific program. So what's the impact there if there's an undercount?
Yeah, we may have a higher socioeconomic need, then actually what the count was, and therefore we would not qualify for as much support funding. One specific program is called Title I dollars, and the Title I dollars basically actually helps us hire more teachers if a school qualifies, and I think that threshold is if their free and reduced lunch is 35% or more, and that really then helps give more support to those children who are coming from that background, and we also hire paraprofessionals also. So basically, it's like an equalizer for students who are coming from a disadvantaged home that way. Mm-hmm.
So the final date for individuals to ensure that they get counted is September 30th with this census count, which comes around only once every 10 years. Any advice or words you might have for residents that haven't taken part in the census count yet?
Yeah, I think it's very important for our community to have that accurate data. So as I stated at the beginning, you know, just for planning purposes for schools, it's important. But then also to give the increased funding from the federal dollars. And the dollars are going to come to the state, and then we will have to write our grant. And so the amount that we get is truly going to depend upon the data. And the more accurate that data is, the more accurate the funding is that we would get. You know, in addition to Title I, there's also Title II funds, which is used for, you know, increasing teacher training, specifically to deal with low-income and minority students having greater access to trained teachers. And then also just our whole food service program is run through the USDA. And that provides meals to school-age children. And funding we have there is directly tied to the information and the data that we receive through the census.
So bottom line, there's a lot of ways that getting an accurate census count is important to the school district.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great. Well, Tom Albertson, Lake Ponderay School District Superintendent, thanks for talking with us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chris.
We're now on to our next interview with community leaders, so stay tuned. We're talking now with Jim Woodward, our state senator for District 1, which covers Boundary and most of Bonner counties. Jim, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Jim, our subject is the U.S. Census, which concludes at the end of the month. Generally speaking, how does the population count made by the census affect our state government and the services that it provides us?
A couple of different ways, Chris, both representation and then distribution of our tax dollars. The census is really our way of steering our own federal taxpayer dollars back into the community and state also, just because so many of those federal and state programs have distributions that are based on the number of people in an area. So that the distribution of money, and then of course at the state level, the legislative districts are determined based on population, and then at the federal level, the congressional districts are determined that same way.
Mm-hmm. So as to the money that's allocated for funding that the state gets from the federal government, are there specific programs in the state that are affected when the count is either larger or smaller, depending on what the census says?
There are quite a few programs, really, that are affected. Some of the Medicaid and other social welfare programs, the healthcare programs, the education programs, transportation, so all those areas are affected by when those federal taxpayer dollars are flowing back to us. They're distributed out based on how many people are in Idaho and what the needs are going to be, and so it's quite important to get this census as accurate as we can.
So bottom line, an undercount is going to mean that less money that people pay in with their taxes already, their federal taxes, less of that will come back to us.
That's correct.
You mentioned the redistricting. So after the census takes place, the state goes through a process by which they review the entire legislative districts for the entire state. And how is that likely to change our District 1?
Well, most likely for us, our district gets bigger. The state has 35 legislative districts, and so we take the total number of people in the state and divide that by 35, and that's how many people for each legislative district. That's the target for each district. Then after the last census, the number per district was around 44,000 people per district. It's anticipated that we'll be about 50,000 people per district this time. So as we add people, we have added people to the area over the last 10 years, but we are more rural, and so we'll probably still see the district might need to be bigger to get to encompass 50,000 people. That the population growth in the Treasure Valley is really significant, and so those districts, there will end up being more districts in that area potentially. And then some of the real rural districts, like District 7, which comes up into this area on the east side of the highway, that District 7 has to get bigger yet. But the lines I don't think they have to be based off what we have today. And so I am still hopeful that District 1, Legislative District 1, which right now is divided by Highway 95, from Bottle Bay south, from the Long Bridge south, still hopefully we can get those areas back in District 1, because one of the requirements or criteria in redistricting is that communities be held together in one district. And I think that the folks in Garfield Bay, Bottle Bay, Glengarry all feel that they're part of Sandpoint and they have not been part of the district. That District 7 right now runs from Contest Point there out by Bottle Bay down to Riggins. So it's a huge district and hard to cover. So it'd be nice to be able to represent those folks here in this district.
Yeah, so that's one change we can expect to see is a completely redistricting of the entire state. And those lines can change quite a bit. So I certainly want to be in District 1 if I lived in that Sagal area that's now part of District 7. And I'm sure a lot of those folks there feel the same way. Well, that's one of the big impacts that the census makes. The final date for individuals to ensure that they are part of the count is September 30th. Any advice or words you might have for residents that haven't taken part in the census count yet?
Sure. I think the important thing to know is it's not too late. We still have half a month left here. You can get online and at census2020.gov, I believe, is the website. So it's still time to participate and get your number added to the total.
Yeah, because it is important that we get fully counted, and that is accurate,
yes.
Of course. Well, Jim Woodward, our state senator for District 1, thank you for talking with us.
You bet. Are you putting a link on your website for that too, then, Chris, on the KRFI website?
Yes, there is also a link on www.krfy.org that links off to that census page that you mentioned, so folks can go there as well to make sure that if they haven't been contacted by the U.S. Census Bureau, they can go there to say, hey, I want to be counted.
Great.
Okay, Jim, again, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, Chris.
That's it for our show today. If you've just tuned in, this is Community Conversations on 88.5 KRFY. And today we've been talking about the 2020 census count that's currently underway and will conclude at the end of this month. The bottom line is that a complete and accurate count is important for our state and local governments. If you haven't been counted, be sure you do get included. You can get more information on our website at www.krfy.org, where you'll see a link to the U.S. Census. If you've missed all or part of this show, you can also hear the recorded podcast if you click to our podcast page. I'm Chris Bessler. Thank you for tuning in today.